Today is Thursday, March 26, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, New York is now the hotspot of the coronavirus in the U.S. as the world works to contain the outbreak. Could vitamin C be an immune system booster to fight COVID-19?
They've reported four patients who were in the ICU and who were treated with high-dose vitamin C and got good results.
And as an antidote to the coronavirus blues, Elton John will host a TV, radio, and online concert and fundraiser. It's all on today's International Edition. The number of people who have been infected worldwide with the coronavirus has risen to more than 460,000. It has killed over 20,000, according to Johns Hopkins University. As more nations around the globe scramble to contain the spread through social distancing, there is an ongoing debate in the United States following President Donald Trump's goal of reopening the country on Easter. AP correspondent Shelley Adler reports.
The debate continues on when is the best time to get the country back to normal. When asked about President Trump's hope of reopening the country by Easter, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says,
"Our focus should be on saving lives, preventing the spread of the virus, because every single life is worth saving."
That question was also put to Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden.
"The only way we'll fully solve the economic challenges is by first solving the public health crisis."
And New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has a compromise.
"Start that economy by bringing in those recovered people, those younger people who are less at risk."
I'm Shelley Adler.
Just days after New York leaders ordered people to stay home, authorities there are mobilizing to head off a potential public health disaster in the big city. Police have been instructed to patrol streets to enforce social distancing. A makeshift morgue has been set up outside Bellevue Hospital as the number of deaths rise in what is now the nation's coronavirus hotspot. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said Wednesday that while the president is planning to reopen the country on Easter, that is not a realistic timeline for his city.
"I believe April's going to be tougher than March, and I think at this point May could be even tougher than April, and people need to be ready for that. But the notion that everything might be fine by Easter, I don't know where on earth that idea comes from. Certainly does not apply to anything we're seeing here in New York City. And again, if that situation ever changes, I will be the first to tell you."
Public health officials are hunting down beds there and medical equipment and putting out a call for more doctors and nurses for fear the number of sick will explode in a matter of weeks, overwhelming hospitals the way the virus has done in Italy and Spain. Meanwhile, the southern east coast state of Louisiana, home to New Orleans, now has the third highest number of cases in the U.S. and growing. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
A month after Mardi Gras, three-quarters of the parishes in Governor John Bel Edwards' state of Louisiana have reported coronavirus cases, the third highest rate in the country.
"This is real. And our state and everyone in it needs to take it very seriously."
In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo says they're about 3 weeks away from a peak in coronavirus cases.
"How do you ramp up hospital capacity? You ramp up beds, you ramp up staff, and you ramp up the equipment. And the ventilators are the problem in equipment."
Governors in Minnesota and Idaho have issued new stay-at-home orders. For most people, coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms. I'm Ed Donahue.
A provincial official in Italy says a soccer game and a missed opportunity to detect one early coronavirus case might have contributed to the rapid spread of the disease in his hard-hit country. Sabina Castelfranco has more for VOA from Rome.
The mayor of Bergamo, Giorgio Gori, says his province, like many others in Italy, were not prepared for the coronavirus outbreak. Bergamo did not go into lockdown initially, like 10 other towns in Lombardy and one in Veneto. A case of pneumonia at a hospital in Bergamo province in late February was not recognized as coronavirus at the time. Gori believes that patient infected others, including doctors and nurses. Gori says another event is also believed responsible for the rapid spread of the virus in his province, a Champions League soccer game played February 19th.
La partita che si è giocata a San Siro tra Atalanta e Valencia.
Gori says 40,000 fans from the Bergamo area watched the match played at Milan's San Siro stadium between Atalanta and Valencia. Many others watched the game at home in large groups, Gori added, and no doubt all those gatherings caused an escalation of the virus to nearly 7,000 cases. Hospitals in the province of Bergamo have since been overwhelmed with patients. The death toll has not stopped rising, and the province had nowhere to take the bodies. Gori says the government was forced to request help from funeral services of other Italian regions, and the army helped to take many of the bodies to crematoriums in other cities. For the past 3 days, the number of confirmed cases in Italy has dropped, and there is cautious optimism. It is the start of a downward trend. But the head of the government's coronavirus relief effort, Domenico Arcuri, implored Italians to continue to respect the stringent measures imposed on them because it will be the only way out of this crisis.
In pochissimo tempo siamo stati attaccati duramente.
Arcuri says that in a very short time we were harshly attacked by a strong, invisible and unknown enemy, adding that in the midst of thousands of difficulties, we reacted immediately and before many other countries in the world. The commissioner said Italy is facing an emergency without precedents, and everyone must do their utmost to ensure that this emergency does not spread to those regions where so far it has been contained. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
The United Nations is appealing for $2 billion to help 40 vulnerable countries over the next 9 months combat the coronavirus pandemic, while urging the international community to maintain life-saving support for countries caught in conflict and other humanitarian crises. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Much of the world is infected with COVID-19. As of Wednesday, the World Health Organization reports nearly 376,000 cases and more than 16,000 deaths in 195 countries. It says the virus is spreading across Africa, and the first case has been reported in war-torn Syria. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warns it would be catastrophic were the coronavirus to gain a foothold in these vulnerable places. He says the world's wealthy countries, who are buckling under this unprecedented threat, cannot afford to ignore what is happening in the poorer countries. Since this is a global pandemic, he says it is a matter of enlightened self-interest for the world's rich countries to help developing countries keep their economies afloat, help their people, and strengthen their health systems.
The worst thing that could happen is to suppress the disease in the developed countries, but let it spread like fire in the developing world, where then millions of transmissions would take place, millions of people would die, and the risk of mutation would be there, which means that the virus could come back in ways that even vaccines that I hope will be soon developed wouldn't be able to stop it again.
Elderly people with underlying conditions are considered to be the most vulnerable to COVID-19. But children also have fallen ill. Some have died, and many more are being adversely affected in other ways by this disease. Executive Director of the UN Children's Fund, Henrietta Fore, calls children the hidden victims of this pandemic. She says lockdowns and school closures affect children's education, mental health, and access to basic health services. She says children are unprotected and open to exploitation and abuse.
There is also an enormous amount of violence, both sexual and physical, that exists within homes and in communities. And as a result, when your parents are out of a job, there can often be a lot of stress at home. And as such, children can become the victims.
Stemming the impact of COVID-19 in vulnerable countries is of primordial importance. However, the UN notes this must not be done at the expense of abandoning the needs of more than 100 million people who rely on humanitarian assistance to survive. The United Nations warns any diversion of funds from existing humanitarian operations would cause diseases such as cholera, measles, and meningitis to thrive. It says more children would become malnourished and extremists would take control of fragile societies. And this, it warns, would create a perfect breeding ground for the coronavirus. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Here are some of the other top stories we are keeping an eye on at VOA. Britain's Prince Charles, the heir to the throne, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Buckingham Palace made the announcement on Wednesday. It comes amid growing calls among some Britons for the royal family to offer more vocal support to the country in these challenging times. 10 days after a state of emergency was declared in Peru in response to the new coronavirus outbreak, the usually crowded beaches of Lima have been taken over by Peruvian gulls and pelicans. In a rare sight, thousands of birds swarmed the beaches since they were closed to the public. A Peruvian biologist said giving nature a break was one of the few positive impacts the pandemic was having. Peru has 480 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, with 9 deaths so far. Top Chef Masters winner and beloved restaurateur Floyd Cardoz died Wednesday of complications from the coronavirus. He was admitted a week ago to Mountainside Medical Center in Montclair, New Jersey, with a fever and subsequently tested positive for the virus. The chef won season 3 of Bravo's Top Chef Masters in 2011. He was a partner in 3 restaurants in his native Mumbai. Floyd Cardoz was 59. Stay with VOA for all the latest on the coronavirus pandemic. As the third day of fighting rocked the Libyan capital of Tripoli, rival governments in the east and west of the country are stepping up their response to the coronavirus following the first reported case in the country. Edward Uranian reports from Cairo.
Libyan fighter jets overflew the strategic Al-Watiya airbase near the capital, Tripoli, amid conflicting reports over which side now controls the area. Sporadic fighting also continued in the capital overnight as residents reported artillery shells falling in various parts of the city. The fighting came as the Tripoli-based National Unity Government reported the country's first confirmed case of the coronavirus. Health Minister Dr. Ahmed Mohammed bin Omar urged Libyans to take precautions. He says the infected person was tested by Libya's National Center for Disease Control, and the health ministry is taking measures to care for the patient. He asks all Libyans to heed the ministry's health safety recommendations. Hatem al-Uraibi, spokesman for the rival government based in Tobruk, told journalists that measures were being taken in eastern towns and cities to address the coronavirus crisis. He says equipment and medication to treat the virus have been sent to area hospitals and that a hospital was being readied in Benghazi to accommodate suspected victims. Meanwhile, areas in and around Tripoli experienced what some residents were calling the worst fighting in the city since the fall of former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. Video posted on social media showed black smoke rising into the air in the southern Tripoli district of Bou Saleem as forces loyal to the two rival governments tried to advance. Heavy fighting occurred at the western Al-Watiya airbase after a Tripoli-based commander tried to wrest it from forces loyal to eastern military commander General Khalifa Haftar. Both sides are claiming to control the base. Haftar's forces provided video on social media showing a Syrian mercenary whom they say was captured in the fighting. The man said in the video he was sent to Libya by the Turkish government, which pays his salary. Turkey backs the National Unity government, while Haftar's forces are backed by Russia and the United Arab Emirates. Fighting erupted in and around Tripoli 3 days ago after a coronavirus ceasefire broke down after being agreed to by both sides. It was not immediately clear which side was responsible for the renewed fighting. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
In Uganda, authorities have confirmed 5 new cases of COVID-19, among them an 18-month-old baby and 2 Chinese nationals who left their quarantine. Ugandan officials are trying to raise awareness of the coronavirus, including one well-known opposition lawmaker who, not surprisingly, issued his warning in song. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Is a potential victim, but the good news is that everyone is a potential solution.
Opposition legislator and musician Robert Kyagulanyi, better known as Bobi Wine, is attempting to spread awareness of the deadly coronavirus. His musical message, everyone is a potential victim, everyone is a potential solution, and do not underestimate the danger. Like a majority of Ugandans and others around the world, Wine is staying indoors with his family, and he tells VOA it's not easy.
Well, like everybody else, I'm struggling because it's not very easy to have kids home when you're not earning, especially in our Uganda, where it is mainly from hand to mouth. But we try to manage under the circumstances.
In the last 2 weeks, President Yoweri Museveni has addressed the nation 4 times through the national broadcaster, urging people to stay indoors, keep social distance, and wash their hands to keep the virus at bay. Wine tells VOA this is the time, especially for musicians like him, to use their talents for humanity.
We must use all the tools that we have to communicate. Music is a very, very powerful means of communication, and it's not only communication, but it also deals with matters of stress with different people out there who are confined, who are self-quarantined.
Uganda has so far registered 14 cases of COVID-19. Most of them had traveled recently. Dr. Henry Mwebesa, the Director General of Health Services in the Ministry of Health, said the cases include a 63-year-old man who traveled from Germany and a 57-year-old man dealing in the salt trade at the Uganda-South Sudan border.
The third case is actually an 8-month-old baby, a Ugandan, whose father traveled Kisumu in Kenya about a week earlier. The 2 other cases were 2 Chinese who traveled from Guangzhou and Linyago, who have been currently under quarantine. They are part of 6 Chinese. I think somehow they escaped out of quarantine and tried to cross to DRC via Zombo district.
To date, a total of 2,261 travelers, including Ugandans, have been identified as potential risks and are under quarantine. All of Uganda's first 8 COVID-19 case patients are reported to be in stable condition. Meanwhile, Bobi Wine reminds Ugandans to be aware of the danger.
The coronavirus is sweeping over mankind. Everybody must be alert. It's a global pandemic we cannot afford to ignore.
For now, as more Ugandans adopt to their new isolated lifestyles, they at least have a song that gives them courage to hold on. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
While the world waits for a coronavirus vaccine, a renowned medical professional is suggesting that vitamin C might be a very useful tool in lessening the impact of the disease on those who've been infected. Joining us to talk more about it is Dr. Devra Davis, an epidemiologist advising governments and policymakers. She has worked with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and many others, and won the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize on the team of IPCC scientists. Thank you for being with us, Doctor. Tell us about what you're seeing with vitamin C.
There have been studies that have been done using both oral and intravenous vitamin C. I'll tell you about the studies, but I think the most powerful story is a family of five. Four of them took care of this one person, elderly, who became ill with COVID-19. They all took between 3 to 6 grams of vitamin C a day. None of them developed the virus. Hmm. And she went into intensive care. And when they insisted that she be given intravenous vitamin C, she was one of the half that came out of intensive care, even though she was elderly. Now, that's an anecdote, okay? But in addition to that anecdote, you have research conducted in Japan by Atsuyo Yanagisawa, who was an MD, PhD, and president of the Japanese College of Intravenous Therapy. And they have done trials of using vitamin C as an antiviral agent. Richard Cheng, also MD, PhD, is an American-Chinese researcher who's directing clinical trials right now that you can find listed on clinicaltrials.gov in the United States about the use of vitamin C as a preventive, that is to say, as a prophylactic. And this is, I think, really important information for people to understand that it's not just anecdotal now, because they've reported four patients who were in the ICU in the C10 West Ward of Tongji Hospital and who were treated with high-dose vitamin C and got good results. Good results. I think we need to pursue this very aggressively. I'm really concerned about pushing the antiviral medications, because those antiviral medications, first of all, one of them is an investigational drug that is not approved for use except in clinical trials, because it's such a new drug. And we know that these new drugs can be very harmful. Another is a drug, chloroquine, which has been used for years and is known to have very serious psychiatric side effects in the treatment of malaria. So I think we'd be very foolish to jump on these antivirals and ignore the vitamin C. And the reason why we might be inclined to do that, of course, is that there's a lot more profit to be made from selling antivirals than there is from selling intravenous vitamin C. And unfortunately, that's a story that I haven't heard anyone talking about so far. But before we jump on the bandwagon and start cheering for a new drug that's not been shown to be safe in humans, I think we need to take a step back and look at the substantial body of research that has been accumulating on vitamin C taken orally or intravenous for the case of advanced cases. So I recognize, as a scientist, that we don't have definitive data, but I'll tell you one thing. We have a hell of a lot better data on intravenous vitamin C than we have these antivirals at this time. And we better be careful before promising people that we have a cure, when oftentimes the cure can be worse than the disease. And this could turn out to be one of them, because among the things known to be caused by chloroquine, one of the antivirals, is macular degeneration, permanent macular degeneration. That's damage to your eye. Basically, you lose your vision. I don't think that we should take that lightly. And I think that before jumping on this bandwagon, we need to look really seriously at things like intravenous vitamin C.
Dr. Deborah Davis, an epidemiologist advising governments and policymakers. She worked with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and many others. You're listening to International Edition. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. win prizes, and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
The coronavirus has shut down movie theaters and caused movie releases to be postponed in the U.S. and China and many others. Elizabeth Lee has more on how the pandemic is affecting moviegoers and movie producers in both the U.S. and China.
The movie audience in China is the fastest growing in the world, and Hollywood wants a piece of that market, according to Ann Kokas, who teaches media studies at the University of Virginia.
Hollywood studios are increasingly making their films for the consideration of the Chinese market.
One such film, Mulan, with Chinese actors, was a movie Disney had hoped would make a big splash in China. But the coronavirus outbreak put the movie's premiere in China and the U.S. on hold. The closing of theaters and productions in both countries will have far-reaching economic implications. Before the pandemic began,
China's and the U.S. film industries are very closely entwined. What we're seeing is an increase in Chinese investment in Hollywood studio films. Following the economic numbers in China, I think we'll definitely see a pullback of outbound capital investment from the Chinese government. So on one hand, that will likely limit Chinese investment in Hollywood.
Some studios in both countries are looking to streaming as an alternative during the pandemic. China's Huanxi Media is offering its large-scale movie Lost in Russia online for free. Universal will release Trolls World Tour to video on demand. Universal also is making movies that were in theaters, such as Invisible Man, available for rent on streaming services. But there are pitfalls, says Stanley Rosen, University of Southern California political scientist and China film expert.
It's not sustainable over the long term to do that. It's not good for the theaters, and it's not good for the studios either, because theatrical is really where the money has been.
Yet, if theaters are closed for a long time because of coronavirus fears, Coca says consumer behavior may change.
Will people actually go back to movie theaters? We've already seen an overall softening of movie theater attendance because there are so many in-home entertainment options.
I've looked at surveys posted on the Chinese internet, some large-scale surveys of thousands of people in 70 different cities, and over 50% say they're reluctant to go back to the theaters. It's a wake-up call, and I think it will accelerate the importance of streaming.
What this means to the bottom line of film industries in China and the U.S. will depend on how long life is brought to a screeching halt and what that new normal looks like after the pandemic is contained. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And finally today, Elton John is hosting a living room concert aimed at bolstering spirits during the coronavirus crisis and saluting those who counter it. Alicia Keys, Billie Eilish, Mariah Carey, the Backstreet Boys, Tim McGraw, and many more are scheduled to take part in the event that airs at 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Sunday. It will air on Fox TV and iHeart Media radio stations, as well as online on Fox's digital platform. The artists will be filmed with their cell phones, cameras, and audio equipment in their homes to ensure the health and safety of all. The event will take the time slot that was supposed to be used for the iHeart Radio Music Awards. This commercial-free concert will honor health professionals, first responders, and others who are putting their own lives on the line to fight the spread of the virus. Viewers will also be asked to support two charitable organizations, Feeding America and First Responders Children's Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to International Edition. That's it for our show today, but you can always find us at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of our producer, Jackson Bunganye, I'm Lori London in Washington. Please take care and be well.
This is VOA News via remote.